really does matter. And everything's bigger in Texas.
99.5 FM K258BZ Sugarland and 99.5 FM K258DA Houston. Radio Debung is powered by Discount Power. Go to discountpowertx.com today.
The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of RD Broadcasting LLC, Radio Debung 99.5 FM, or its affiliates. Individual programmers are responsible for their own content. If you have concerns regarding the following programming, please send an email to info@radiodebung.com.
The Chai Time Show will be right back on 99.5 FM.
Hi, I'm Lynn.
I'm Asma.
I'm Sasha.
I'm Layla.
I'm Alifia.
Join us Mondays from 11 to 12 only on 99.5 FM for a fun afternoon chat with Chai Time,
where we will chat about food, health, beauty, and much, much more. So sit back and just chill.
Just chill, chill, just chill. Just chill, chill, just chill. Just chill.
Celebration meals are always a breeze when you bring your family to Arling's Chinese. A birthday, anniversary, or a special day with friends, Arling's Chinese is setting the trend. Gobi Manchurian and mocktails with style, chili chicken and more, handcrafted to make you smile. All this in one place. So join us, if you please. Bring your family and friends to Arling's Chinese. Halal menu and catering available. Visit arlingschinese.com.
Experience royalty at the Maharaja Bhog. Maharaja Bhog, a pure vegetarian cuisine with recipes passed down through generations. 30 different dishes served at your table. Aapka pet to bhar jayega, ji nahi bharega. Visit Maharaja Bhog for a traditional meal in royal style. Boxed meals and catering also available. Call 713-771-2464. That's 713-771-2464.
I'm so sick and tired of just doing the regular girls' night out. We need to think something outside of the box. Like, I'm just something different.
I just heard about this new place that opened up in Sugarland. It's called Artsy Soul.
Artsy Soul?
Yeah, it's a new place where you can do mosaic, make candles, pottery, painting.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. We should get Sarah and Janie and all our girls together for a girls' night. And it's right on University Boulevard.
Let's do this. Give me the number. Let's get the girls together.
The number is 346-874-7507.
Okay, so the number is 346-874-7507. Got it. Okay, well, I'm going to get the girls on the phone.
Thanks to the excellent rates with Discount Power, excellent customer service team, and great customers like you all, you should become a part of their success story. Sign up for your electricity with Discount Power at discountpowertx.com. Discountpowertx.com.
Discount Power, PUCT number 10177.
More than 17 years of business experience. Winner of the National Quality Award from the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisory for 9 consecutive years. Member of the Court of the Table Million Dollar Roundtable, the premier association of insurance and financial professionals for 4 consecutive years. Chairman's Counsel Agent with New York Life, which put him in the top 1% in the country for 8 consecutive years. Supporting community events and charitable organizations for over a decade. One name, Amir Ali Dodia, your agent of the community. Call today to secure your family's financial future. Agent, New York Life Insurance Company, 832-877-0177. That is 832-877-0177. Call today to help secure your family's financial future.
You're listening to the Chai Time Show on 99.5 FM.
Y'all ready? Let's go.
Yeah, we can make it better, yeah, when we come together.
listening to
Chai Time. Here is your Monday chat, only on 99.5 FM with your hosts,
Lynn
and Sasha. Thanks for tuning in on this beautiful Monday morning with us on Chai Time. We hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. How was your weekend?
Weekend was busy.
You know what? That's your answer every weekend.
No, but it wasn't busy at the restaurant. Oh. I had 3 events in one day to go to. And I really don't know how people do that. You know, there's 3 events back to back.
Always busy.
But it was really good events. There was one event where we were supporting a gala fundraiser for Chat.
Oh, yes.
And yes, it was really nice to meet the kids again, to talk to them. And as soon as they saw me, they remembered my name. And I was
so touched. Sweet.
And we brought out the chicken lollipops and the cheese links.
You know, that's my girl's favorite.
And we had to plate the food. And they were like, can we try this? Can we eat this? And they remembered the lunch that we sponsored for them. So that was very heartwarming. Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
I love these kids. They have a hard life, but still, you know, they're always so happy and so positive.
Yeah.
And it just changes your life just looking at them. Yeah.
Yeah, kids are so positive.
Yeah.
And then they grow up to be negative old farts.
Hey, going back to your question, how do you attend 3 meetings, 3 events in a day?
Yes, how do you do that, Commander?
Body double.
Can we find one for her?
I know that. Okay, all right. I'm not going to make a comment on that one.
I was so kind of getting myself focused for all this. You know, I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Yeah. How am I going to do it? But when the time came, you just kind of go and get it done, right? And it's just...
What happens once you get used to these kind of events, I mean, it's just like you're on the go making quick decisions and then you're moving on to the next one, moving on to the next one.
You're used to this kind of stuff.
All the time. Some days it's like meeting after meeting after meeting. And it's like, how do you keep it together? So it's like it actually improves your memory skills.
Yeah.
And start documenting everything of each meeting, what specific information you want to share, what is your objective. You start creating templates and outlines, and you stick with that.
That's plans. A lot of work.
Yeah. I've not come to that yet. Right now, all the template, everything
it's
is just
right here. Right in your head.
It's like next.
Next page. PowerPoint. Move it. Next one.
How was your weekend?
It was good.
Yeah.
Just honestly, I think I'm forgetting stuff. You know, it's like day to day, so much going on. Then it's like, when did that happen? It happened 2 days ago. It's like, wow, it seemed like it happened a long time ago.
So much things are always
so
going
much
on.
Things.
Yeah. And then we have Officer Lopez.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
I just seen your name because I really like it. How was your weekend?
It was busy. I was out of town last week, so I came back to wash and clean and do mom duties.
It doesn't matter if you're an officer of the law or anything. At home, you are a mother, and you still got to do what you got to do.
Yes.
That sucks, but
mom
it's okay.
Mom life.
Mom life, exactly.
Yes.
Well, I have a fun story for you guys. Since we have these wonderful commander and officer here with us, and I thought this would be fitting to share this story with you guys. And I saw this on Facebook, okay? So don't judge. Yes, I do go on Facebook. So there was this police officer that was called to this little neighborhood where these kids were playing basketball, and the police officer was called because the kids were making a lot of noise. So he kind of went there and he was like, hey guys, you know, you guys got to chill with the noise, kind of keep it down, it's disturbing the neighborhood. So the kids were like, okay, you know, well, they listened. And then so he's like, you know what, let's play a game of basketball. So he started playing a game of basketball with them, and he said, you know what, I'm gonna be back with my team. So the kids never thought that he would come back, you know, just so a few days later he comes back with a team of officers. Not only that, he brings Shaquille O'Neal with them.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So these kids were beyond happy. And it was just amazing because, I mean, you know, I feel that when you look at cops, you're just like, okay, oh, damn, I'm going to get a ticket. You know, that's the first thing. Or I'm in trouble if they show up to your house. But you don't look at all the other things that you guys are doing, which is beyond amazing. And there's youth programs that you guys have. And today, you know, Officer or Commander Bashir decided that we would talk about the youth programs that you guys have. Yeah. What is it? Community policing?
Yes. You know, I also have a funny story I want to tell you.
Oh, good. I like
stories. Actually, it's complete opposite of what you just said.
Oh.
This was like almost like 10, 15 years ago when I was an officer. And the parents have this mindset, if the kid is behaving bad, and I'll take him to the police officer, and the police officer will use his authority, scare the kid away, and the kid will be all straight up and will start getting all A's. Well, it doesn't work like that.
No.
So I remember one time at the station, this mom brought her son in, and this officer was just yelling at the kid, you know, straightening him out, just yelling at the kid, and the mom is giving two thumbs up, and the kid is crying. The kid is crying. And we're all like, yeah, we got him, right? Yeah, he's going to be a good boy from now on. But now looking back at it, you don't know what kind of trauma that kid now has to experience and what kind of negative feelings he has toward the officers in the future, if he's going to open up or not, if he becomes a victim or a complainant in an incident. Yeah. Actually, we think we're just correcting the behavior. We're not. We're also leaving long-lasting impressions, negative impressions, when we behave like that. So the best way is, be professional and treat them like this kind of story you had. They're just plain making noise. Yeah. And that's what kids do.
They're kids at the end of the day.
At the same time, there's a different way of communicating, and this communication bringing Shaq out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. That's a wild moment. Yes. Those wild moments are like where the officers or the first responders go above and beyond of what the normal expectations are.
Yes.
And this way, I'm sure the person who called, probably her mindset changed as well.
I'm sure, yeah.
Start looking at things differently.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Yeah, we always think of kids as that they don't know any better or they don't think or whatever. But if you sit down and you actually have a conversation with them, they're quite smart.
Yeah,
I mean, I have a 5- and 8-year-old, and I can literally have a conversation with them all day long. And they have some amazing stories and amazing things to tell, but you have to sit and listen.
Yeah.
So we usually have, we always have our Commander Bashir, of course, but we usually have Sergeant Yusuf with us. But today we have a new face, a girl con.
Girl power.
Girl power.
All right, just a disclaimer, do not gang up on me, okay? I know you guys do a lot of shows of about woman empowerment. Just take it easy on me today, all right?
So we have Officer Lopez here, and I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Okay, my name's Melissa Lopez. I've been on the department going on 6 years.
Oh, wow.
At the end of this year. I got the position for the community service officer for the Midwest area a little over a year ago. Before that, I came from patrol. So I've worked I've worked the streets. I've actually worked the jail as well. And then now I've worked, now I'm community service. So I'm assigned doing community service events for the Midwest area and as well as the Explore program. And the TABS program, and then we have the PALS program, which I'm not assigned to, but I assist the officer that's in charge of that.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
And you guys recently had the after-school bash as well, right?
Yes.
The back-to-school bash. Yes, and it was a lot of fun. It was more than I expected. More people than I expected came.
Yeah.
And it's very humbling that we were able to give so many kids, you know, these backpacks full of school supplies.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's families that come with 3, 4, 5 kids, and it's expensive, you know.
Yeah.
I have a 9th grader, and man, it was like school, shoes, you know, backpack,
new clothes.
It's expensive. So imagine having 3, 4 kids. It's really expensive. Mm-hmm. So having, you know, being able to help these families and just being able to get out of the house and come meet, you know, your local police officers and we had Kona Eyes giving out snow cones.
Nice.
And we had the firefighters out there.
Oh, wow.
SWAT was out there with their guns so you could take pictures with them. And it was a lot of fun. The big, you know, the big vehicle, the response vehicle for high water was there. Bomb squad was there.
And we had a special guest. Chief made it out there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he made it out there, which is, he's very busy, and he made it out there. That was really a plus for all the kids.
You know, when you said SWAT team was there, I have a funny story to share with you guys. When Layla and I were in our 20s.
When you robbed the bank and the SWAT team was there.
That's another type story. I can't tell that with cops around. So we had gone to Galveston. We had just gotten married. And we had gone to Galveston, and our husband went on a jet ski excursion. And so her and I were just standing there by this hotel place, and I guess there was a convention for the SWAT team, and a bunch of like men come out with their like gear on and SWAT, and Layla and I are like, SWAT team. So we're like, can we take a picture with you guys? And those guys took a picture. That picture? I don't even know which phone we took it from, but yeah, we were really excited.
That never happens to me. Never happens.
I'm sure. Yeah, so that was a fun moment. And we were like 23. So, so why did you pick the topic of youth programs?
I think the youth program, if we reach the kids at a young age and we can change their ways, because I've actually, going back to what you were saying, if we go out on the street or I go walk into a store, a lot of the kids kind of hide behind their mothers or fathers because they're scared of police.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot, and it's kind of like, why, you know? So if we reach these kids at a young age, we mentor them, you know, we have them come to the station and do a lot of events with us, it kind of gives them a, you know, what do I say? Like, it kind of leads them in the correct path and not into the wrong path. Yeah. We can save them from going into drugs, gangs.
Yeah.
It prevents them a lot because we show them, like, hey, especially with my Explorer program, you know, we teach these kids, you know, every week new topics on crime. And so they grow up and they know what these crimes can be, what's the, you know, what's the charge, the time in jail. So it kind of helps them deter them from the crimes.
So you guys are kind of essentially making a little community for the little people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So they have a place to go and, you know, I guess take out their aggression if they have any, or be able to talk to somebody, have mentors like yourselves.
We have Commander. Amazing. Commander helps me with the working out. He runs with them.
Yeah. Nice.
So I'm over there too every Monday. So. Yeah. In the beginning, I was like, what is this Explorer program? You know, just a bunch of kids just come and run and sit in the room and listen to Melissa, right? So I'll tell you a funny story. So I remember what kind of clicked my head was. I mean, that bulb went off. When she would exercise with Explorers right front of the station, you know, near the stairway?
Yeah.
And my office is just above the stairs. Uh-huh. And I would hear, you know, the Explorer doing push-ups and sit-ups. And it was hot out there one day.
Yeah.
So I made a sign. I looked out the window. I said, do you need help?
Is that help?
Help. You need help? Okay, with this. And then I'm like, you know, maybe one day I'll just see what she really do.
Yeah.
And then when I went there, I was amazed. I'm like, you know what? This is, I want to be part of this.
Yeah.
So I joined with her. She's still the leader. I'm like supporting her. This is her program. So I play a supporting role where I actually take the kids. Not the kids, but they're young adults.
Yeah.
Because if you say, keep saying kids, then that means you're not treating them like young adults. So they're young adults.
Yes.
And then I got involved. That way I can teach them some of the things I have learned through leadership. Over the years, but leadership and how to motivate yourself, how to handle different problems. And the first hour, I make them run. We run for about an hour. Do different type of exercises, running up the stairs. I'll push them to the limit every
Maybe I need to join Monday. This program.
Hey, there's kids that throw up.
Throw up. I mean, there are kids that I'm about to throw up.
Oh, wow.
And the other thing is actually helps me make myself better, see what's happening, what the kids are thinking. And one success story, that's all we need for the rest of our life to make us feel good.
Yeah.
But it does take a lot of work. Keep that in mind. Sure. Everything is a lot of work. The community events you talked about, these programs, it takes a lot of unselfish commitment for us to make time and be there. Like today, I'm doing this show. Remember to talk about different events? Mm-hmm. So I got to work. I have all these different meetings, all these problems dealing with. Came here. Later on, I got to come back at 6 o'clock at night and go help out with the Explorers. So this is part of things you have to be passionate about and you want to do it.
Yeah.
And we're always looking for new partners to help us, you know, with our initiatives.
Wow. So. They're our next generation.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if we can kind of shape them up, mold them, they're going to be our next police officers. Or, you know, I don't sit there and say, hey, you have to be a cop. No. But it teaches them, like, these leadership skills. It teaches them, it educates them about the community and how to behave, how to be a, you know, a good abiding citizen. Yeah. So
let's talk about our Explore program first. Do you want to go, what's the basic concept? Sure. What is designed to do?
So the Explore program, we require kids to be at least 14 years of age or done with the eighth grade, and they go all the way up to 21 years of age. And I actually do have one 21-year-old. She turned 21 last November, and she still comes.
Wow.
And, you know, I haven't been able to be like, hey, go. You can't come back.
Don't come back.
Comes and works out. And so I do have her, like, I try to give her some tasks, you know. Yeah. to come, because I feel bad. Like, hey, she really likes it, and she's 21. She wants to be a cop, but she's working on it right now. Wow. So, yeah, kids from 14 all the way to 21. We meet at our station. We meet every Monday from 6 to 8. And then we do all sorts of events with the community, and we'll do, you know, we have a marathon coming up. Like, it's just a 5K, 3 miles. So we do stuff like that with them. We do competitions. Our next one's going to be in October, where we compete with, the city has 13 posts all over the city. Mm-hmm. So almost every station has a post, and we'll compete against them. And then, like, the top four teams will go off to the competition out of town. So we'll go on out-of-town trips with them.
Oh, wow.
So we teach them, there's, I think, 13 scenarios that we teach them, like burglary in progress, robbery in progress, how to do traffic stops, how to do felony traffic stops.
Oh, wow.
So, like, a stolen car or robberies, you know, when they're doing it, it's two vehicles. We do those. We'll do accident scenes, domestic disputes.
Do they ever get to ride in the cop car?
Well, we sometimes park the car in the back of the station, and they can pretend like they're driving, like they're pulling over a car.
Nice.
And we let them, like, with the loudspeaker. And sometimes, like, we'll have officers come out, like, they think, like, something's going on. Yeah. And we're like, what is going on? And we're like, then they see us. They're like, oh. Because we teach them how to give commands, like, get out of the vehicle with one hand, you know, stuff like that. Oh, so it's they like that. And so, like tonight, we're doing accident scenes. So we probably won't use a patrol car, but we'll use two different cars and park them like as if I got into an accident.
Yeah.
And they have to go into the process of, they're like mini cops.
That is amazing.
They have to respond to these fake scenarios and act like they're the cops. We're not. We're just there watching them, leading them. And so it's very cool to see these kids kind of shape them up. They come very shy. They don't talk.
Yeah.
But then after some time, you know, they start, you know, their tongues start coming out. You start hearing those voices, you know.
You can talk.
Yeah. And it's fun to, like, hey, like, you've never talked and you're finally talking.
Wow.
So it's a lot of fun to see them kind of grow up. The youngest explorer is my daughter, actually. She just turned 14 past year. So she's our youngest explorer. She didn't want to do it, but now she's kind of like, oh, okay. I told her, you don't have an option.
Yeah. You're coming to the station.
Yeah. So, but she's starting to like it now. So it's a lot of fun to see these kids, you know, week after week. And it's a year-long program. Oh. So we meet all year long. We meet every, like I said, our station is every Monday. So we're there all year, except if it's a holiday or something. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun.
The other thing she didn't mention we also do is we also teach active shooter incidents, how to handle it, how to respond to it. We also had a software program where actually it has like hundreds of different scenarios where we actually put them right in the middle of the scenario and how you're going to address it. It could be officer involved shooting. It could be shooting at a mall, at a school, and the officer is going to have to take quick decisions. We did have one explorer, very good, very awesome. I mean, probably one of the top explorers. But when it came to reality, this explorer froze up when it's time to make a decision, either to shoot or not shoot. And that's something, it puts you in real perspective.
Yeah.
If you're willing to engage when you need to or not.
Yeah.
So it's not just a classroom application, but we also have tactical strategies and tactical movements you have to perform as well. Wow. So when I do my exercises, I'm not just going out there just running, all right, guys, let's run. No, I'm looking for team buildup. I'm looking for leadership. Yes, I'm leading. At times I'll say, okay, you take that team and you're going to make them run and you're going to, this is what you're going to do.
Yeah.
When it comes to stretches, I'll pick two people, okay, get the team ready. And then we'll teach them how to get team ready. We also teach them formation, how to quickly, like you know, let's say all of us, okay, go do line up real quickly in formation by alphabetical order. Don't fall, okay? You'll be like, you're going to be like standing like this? No. So it's quickly, you know, go in there and, you know, what distance you need to be, how far you need to be ahead, and, you know, attention, and then be ready. So we do that kind of exercises to learn how to work with others, how to communicate and get the job done. So all these things we're teaching them very early on is not to be shy, but also break them away from the shells.
Yeah.
Is because, you know, these days kids they become like antisocial. They only can communicate through cell phones. Right. And we need to break that where they need to communicate with other people.
Yeah.
In addition to that, what Melissa talked about is it's also a skill to be able to control another person through words. Right. Okay? Get out of the car and let me see your hands. The person can say whatever he wants and you're giving the person clear instructions and how to be able to control that person just through your body demeanor and just through your words. And that takes confidence.
Yes.
And that takes also some training and then also mentoring.
Wow.
So that's something else.
Build them.
Yes. Our goal is to build them up. Nice. So when they get to a room, they're confident. Hey, I know my stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have that confidence. Hey, I know my stuff. And, you know, we also teach them about different things.
That will help them in life, I feel like. Yes. You know, just being in a awkward situation. And if they have that confidence, they can walk into any room.
That's what we want them to do.
For sure. You build up their confidence.
That is amazing.
Yeah. So it's not just classroom stuff. We also, about a month ago, we went to the Galleria. We had a guy from the FBI come and teach him how to do surveillance on a particular person. So they were given like the picture of what the person looked like. And they had to, you know, the Galleria is like three floors. So some kids went on the first floor and they had to like sit around and drink some coffee. Or not drink coffee, but... They were sitting at the Starbucks and they were like texting like, okay, he just passed me. And it was a lot of fun. And
fake mustaches.
Yeah. Like,
hey,
the big hat. Had Amy and Katie.
I love it.
A few of our girls actually changed clothes. Yeah. Like they had clothes underneath so they would change like inside of a store. And what's funny to them is that the FBI guys actually brought other people and they did counter surveillance on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no idea. So they were like, yeah, we saw them like changing their clothes inside. I think it was Beth and Beth. Body Works or whatever.
They love it.
So they were like, whoa, it was like a bunch of them. So it was a lot of fun that they actually got to see and got some training that we don't even get, you know?
It's priceless. Like,
you know,
that is amazing. So, I almost want to join this youth
group. So when you did that, actually, the Galleria head security, he called me. He goes, hey, why is the FBI here at the Galleria?
Something going on?
So I said, no, it's a good thing. They're there. We're just, you know, teaching our explorers how to conduct surveillance, counter surveillance. Yeah. I mean, just think that kind of training, I mean, you would crave for that.
Absolutely.
And guess what? It's all free. It's all free.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is open to kids that are ages 14 to 21.
Yes, but they have to be good standing. Because the meaning they have to demonstrate good behavior, good decision making.
No criminal history.
Because I remember one of our I'm not trying to be funny or anything.
Yeah.
In one of our Explorer programs, a new kid came to the Explorer. And we just don't pick somebody right away. We give them opportunity to check it out, see if they like it or not. So this young adult, we asked, hey, why do you want to be part of Explorer? Why are you here? And this lady said, the reason I'm here is because I want to stop smoking weed. So we were like scratching our head. Okay, this is not what this is for. We're not this, you know, this rehab.
This is not for kids that are bad to make them good. Like, no, we need good kids
to make them better.
Yes, but we do have a program where kids are going through bad behavior or experiencing
because I'm sure there's difficulty. Parents out there that want to have that are having difficult times with some of their teenagers and want a program that's available.
That's a different one.
At no cost.
Yes.
Because a lot of people can't, like you said, you know, people that come with like 5-6 kids or three, four kids, it's hard for them to afford, you know.
Absolutely. It's all free.
Yeah.
So this program actually is to build up on what you already have. For example, if some kids, if they have criminal history, I'm sorry, we're not going to accept you.
Yeah.
But you have to be a good standing. And when you come in on every Monday, so it's almost like a semi-boot camp where we are doing different type of training. But if you don't cooperate, if you give us attitude, I'm sorry, you may not last long.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, it's a wonderful, wonderful program. Mm-hmm. If I didn't believe in it, I probably wouldn't be in it. I'm in it, and I'm committed. And we're going to talk about some other programs as well.
Okay, so we are going on a short break. This is Chai Time on 99.5 FM. We are in conversation with Commander Bashir and Officer Lopez.
तू आ जा सताना तेरी चाहतों में फिरूं बावरा
तू खोया कहाँ आँखें तुझे ये ढूंढे कहीं खो जाएंगे फिर कहीं लो चल पड़े।
The Chai Time Show will be right back on 99.5 FM.
Hi, I'm Lynn.
I'm Asma.
I'm Sasha.
I'm Layla.
I'm Alifia.
Join us Mondays from 11 to 12 only on 99.5 FM for a fun afternoon chat with Chai Time,
where we will chat about food, health, beauty, and much, much more. So sit back and just chill.
Just chill, chill, just chill. Just chill, chill.
Celebration meals are always a breeze when you bring your family to Arling's Chinese. A birthday, anniversary, or a special day with friends, Arling's Chinese is setting the trend. Gobi Manchurian and mocktails with style, chili chicken and more, handcrafted to make you smile. All this in one place. So join us, if you please. Bring your family and friends to Arling's Chinese. Halal menu and catering available. Visit arlingschinese.com.
I'm so sick and tired of just doing the regular girls' night out. We need to think something outside of the box. Like, I'm just something different.
I just heard about this new place that opened up in Sugar Land. It's called Artsy Soul.
Artsy Soul?
Yeah. It's a new place where you can do mosaic, make candles, pottery, painting.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. We should get Sarah and Janie and all our girls together for a girls' night. And it's right on University Boulevard.
Let's do this. Give me the number. Let's get the girls together.
The number is 346-874-7507.
Okay, so the number is 346-874-7507. Got it. Okay, well, I'm going to get the girls on the phone.
Experience royalty at the Maharaja Bhog. Maharaja Bhog, a pure vegetarian cuisine with recipes passed down through generations. 30 different dishes served at your table. Aapka pet to bhar jayega, ji nahi bharega. Visit Maharaja Bhog for a traditional meal in royal style. Boxed meals and catering also available. Call 713-771-2464. That's 713-771-2464.
सुनो, ये जो तुम्हारी आंखें हैं ना?
हाँ, मेरी आंखें?
जैसे बिजली के टिमटिमाते हुए दो बल्ब
हैं?
और ये जो तुम्हारी रेशमी जुल्फें हैं ना?
हाँ हाँ, मेरी रेशमी जुल्फों का क्या?
जैसे बिजली की तारें
क्या?
और ये जो तुम्हारा नासुक सा दिल है ना?
अब मेरे दिल को क्या हुआ?
जैसे कोई बिजली का ट्रांसफॉर्मर।
ओफो, ये क्या तुम मेरे से बिजली की बोली बोल रहे हो?
बस क्या बताऊं, जब से ये डिस्काउंट पावर लिया है ना, तब से हर चीज में मुझे बिजली ही बिजली नजर आती है।
वैसे सच कह रहे हो, मुझे भी तुम आजकल किसी बिजली के खंभे से कम नहीं लगते।
अरे वाह,
खुदा करे कि तुम्हारा स्विच कभी ऑफ ना। और ये जो तुम्हारा फड़कता हुआ दिल है ना, डिस्काउंट पावर के बिल की तरह हमेशा मेरे काबू में रहे।
Sign up your home or business today. Go to discountpowertx.com. That's discountpowertx.com. Or call 877-455-4674.
Discount Power.
Arre wah!
PUCT number 10177.
More than 17 years of business experience. Winner of the National Quality Award from the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisory for 9 consecutive years. Member of the Court of the Table Million Dollar Roundtable, the premier association of insurance and financial professionals for 4 consecutive years. Chairman's Counsel Agent with New York Life, which put him in the top 1% in the country for 8 consecutive years. Supporting community events and charitable organizations for over a decade. One name, Amir Ali Dodia, your agent of the community. Call today to secure your family's financial future. Agent, New York Life Insurance Company, 832-877-0177. That is 832-877-0177. Call today to help secure your family's financial future.
listening to the Chai Time Show on 99.5 FM.
Welcome back to Chai Time on 99.5 FM. This segment has been brought to you by Amir Ali Dodia from New York Life. So we are in conversation with Commander Bashir and Officer Lopez. We have been talking about one of your programs, The Explorer. And of course, there are many other programs as well, right? So let's get into that as well, the other programs that involves the community.
Sure. The first program we talked about, that was for good kids, okay, who want to advance their careers, learn different leadership skills, etc. But then if you have another program, actually that's for kids, not kids, but young adults who are experiencing challenges at school, at home. They need somebody to mentor them also, just get them through this difficult time. One of the main objectives of that program is make sure that those teens do not fall into the wrong hands, get involved in gangs or other criminal activities. So that program is called our TAPS. I think that you're going to change the name. So you want to talk about that?
Yes, it's TAPS stands for Teen and Police Service Academy. The program is these kids are selected by the school, mainly the counselors or teachers that kind of know what these kids are up to. So they're selected, and it's usually like 15, 20 kids at a time. And they do like semesters it would be from September all the way to December would be one class. And then the January through May is the second class, which is other kids. It's 11 weeks that we teach these kids, not teach them, but we go talk to them and we'll talk about a certain topic. You know, we'll talk about drugs or we'll talk, you know, things that were going around in the community, nutrition, all sorts of things. But these kids, when you first meet them, you know, they're most of the time they're already criminals. They've already done time in jail. You know, they're already on drugs. So they don't want to talk to us. They're kind of like, whatever. They put their heads down. So what helps us is we bring in snacks for them and they kind of start opening up. After several weeks, they start opening up and they start kind of after our discussions, they start opening up and they start kind of telling us stories and, you know, and at the end, you know, hopefully after the 11 weeks, we'll have a graduation for them. Oh. And hopefully, you know, that they do kind of turn straight from, you know, that path that they're going to. And actually, you know, don't want to bring up to explorers, but I do have two of my explorers that come from the TAPS program.
Wow.
So they, you know, they were in the wrong path and then now they are doing great and now they are in the good program, the explorers.
That's amazing.
So it is a great program for these at-risk students. So if the parents are, you know, you don't know what to do, talk to the counselor. Maybe that, you know, a lot of the schools in the city have that program.
Yeah.
So talk to the counselors, say, hey, you know, is there a program, you know, with police? And then, you know, they'll let
you know. I feel like a lot of parents also shy away from going to the school, talking, because either they come from a poor background, they don't know what to say, they're afraid, they don't want to be near a police station because of legal issues, you know, like citizenship or whatnot.
The perception. Status. Yeah, yeah.
So there's so much, I think, that goes into, like, these kids that act the way that they do. Again, I'm not a psychologist or anything, but just having, like, so many people that have come on our show, and whenever we've spoken about children, I feel like this is the common ground, is, like, that the parents don't speak up where they need to be at certain times because they're just afraid.
Yeah, and but then again, a lot of these kids don't have that father figure, that mother figure in there.
True.
So they're kind of lost, you know. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's sad. But so us coming into their lives, you know, they don't want to talk to us. But after a while, they kind of start opening up. And a topic that they kind of helps open them up is we discuss traffic stops. Because a lot of these kids, you know, most of the time they are criminals. And so we teach them how to behave on a traffic stop. Unfortunately, people don't learn, you know, or know what to do, but we teach them, and they laugh, because, you know, we try to make it fun.
Yeah.
So we laugh, okay, put your hands on the steering wheel, you know, don't move, don't be searching for stuff in the car, because us officers, we can't, you know, if we see movement, you know, it kind of alerts us, like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
So us teaching them, hey, do this on a traffic stop, it's gonna, or just, you know, listen to what the officer says, you know, stuff like that, it kind of opens them up, and, you know, makes them laugh, because they I'm sure they had been stopped, you know, by officers before. Yeah. So it's a it's kind of cool. And we talk all also about truancy. And a lot of these kids, they do miss a lot of school. So the TAPS is moving on to Teen Pole. It's going from TAPS to Teen Pole. And Teen Pole, not all the schools have it, but they're trying to implement it into all the schools where they actually get that credit hour. And it helps them. That's because nice. some of these kids actually do need that college, not college, but that credit hour to graduate.
Yeah.
So for us talking, and they're implementing that program to give them that college, not college, I keep saying college, school. That credit hour yeah. for them to be able to graduate.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What I want to do was, I was going to talk about some risk factors, how to identify youth who are at risk yes. for delinquency.
Yes.
Okay, there are two. One is positive, one is negative. The risk factors, let me go talk about the risk factor first. What it is. It's a condition or characteristic or variable that increase the likelihood that a child will become delinquent. So it's a what? It's a different variables that this child, based on his history, will become delinquent. And then what are the other ones or condition or character variable that the likelihood that a child will avoid delinquency? What are those protective factors? One is the risk and one is the protector. So this is something I think we all of should be aware of, so that way we can go home and reevaluate, okay, does our kid fit this formula or not? So there are many different factors out there, but the researchers have grouped them in five major categories, okay?
Okay.
The first one is individual, the person or the youth himself or herself. And what do you look at? You look at the person's self-esteem, the social interaction, and the motivation. A couple more other things that are just based on the individual, how he is. And as you know, like our kids these days, I mean, they interact with this instead of communicating verbally.
Yeah.
And I think at times they don't know how to handle stress or how to solve problem verbally instead of just getting emotionally upset whenever a problem does arise. The second is, like you mentioned, and you mentioned too, like family. That's very important. Yeah. Having a father figure, or if there's any kind of family problems at home, family violence, that definitely impacts the child. Third factor was school. Where is the school at? Mm-hmm. Okay. Like we go to the Wisdom High School. Back then it was called Lee High School.
And we have
some gang activity in that area.
And the apartments. So the apartments. They go outside, yeah. The gangs are there.
Yeah.
It's just kind of easy.
No. Yeah, and they prey on that. Yeah. And the fourth one is peers. I mean, just imagine, I still look back in high school and just got lucky. A lot of peer pressure just for you to fit in. And this doesn't end in high school. Actually, even progresses or comes and goes depending on what field you're at or you're in. And the last was the community, a lack of community support. Yeah. So overall, the five major categories, the individual, the family, the school, the peers, and the community. So if you look at that, okay, this is where the person is most likely to become delinquent. If they're lacking all this, okay, what can we do to improve on that? So let's reiterate our programs. Explore. Okay, if you're trying to build your self-esteem, we're trying to motivate you. Okay, give you the leadership skills, give you opportunity to take charge. Family, yes, you may have come from a broken family. At least we can do our best to mentor you, yeah. And give you the words that you want to hear, positive words. School, yes, you're in high school or whatever condition you're in. We may not be able to improve that, but when you join our different programs, the community events, that will show you, yes, you can come out of that condition. Maybe it's tough right now, but in the future, it will get better. Peer pressure. We do our best to become mentors and friends, and it gives an opportunity for them in our programs to meet other kids as well.
Yes. Okay.
Similar situations, and we all working together to look ahead.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, yes, we do have programs, but you know, we are doing our best, but everybody needs to step up their game.
Yeah.
Everybody has a responsibility,
yes,
to make our community safer, and also when it comes to helping our youth.
Yeah.
Yeah, like speaking of family, Glenda, you said that family has to be involved, have to communicate. And that is so important because having small conversations with your family at dinner time, that is important. Prohibiting phones while having dinner, no TVs, no phones, just sitting and having a simple conversation with your children, your teenagers, make a big difference. And this happened to me when my son started high school. And we would sit every day and have dinner and have conversations. And the first day in high school, he came back and I said, so how was your first day at school? And he goes, Mom, there were so many guys behind the building offering weed.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he didn't really need to come and tell me. He could have just, like, and I said, oh, so what did you do? Like, you know, he goes, oh, I just walked away and ignored them.
And say, come back later.
And, you know, that made me realize that communication is so important as a family to just sit down. And you don't have to grill them on every little thing. But just having simple conversations leads to many, many more of them opening up, talking to you, feeling comfortable. You know, having that conversation leads to many.
Here's what works for me and what doesn't work. So if I try to have conversation with my family at home or my kids, what's the first thing you have to do? Put the phone away, put this away, right? And right away, they're in a upset mood. Okay, so the conversation can start. So what I felt it worked for me was to actually we leave the house, get them away from the comfort zone, go somewhere else, like at a community center or something. Guys, let's go. And then have a conversation there where you're in a different environment. And then you have your phones and then slowly, hey, you know, how was your day or what's going on? That seems to work for me as a family. But individually, I do different things with my kids best as I can. And they all have different personality. They all have different challenges. But that's just something that I've noticed is at home, for me, it just doesn't work out for now. Maybe in the future, it may get better.
Yeah. I guess, like, my kids are 25 and 23, so the phones were not that important as compared to TVs.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, but it's just like when they are younger and you start them young, it just, you know, it becomes sort of a habit. And it becomes like, okay, this is how, you know, like, okay, it's dinner time and we sit together and we talk. And we don't have to set rules because there's no need for rules when you start them young. Mm-hmm. And and I find that, you know, like you said, family, they have to be responsible. And so many times when kids get into trouble, like, you know, for shoplifting or anything, it's always the parents push it onto the cops. The parents always say, you know,
you talk to my kids.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, as parents, of course, we have to take that, be responsible for the actions as well. Yeah. So anyways, and then, so it's such a good thing to hear about, you know, the Houston Police Department getting involved in the community because we're always under the impression that they are law enforcers, and that's all they do is just, you know, when the bad guys come, they catch the bad guys, or there's always this negative impression, I guess, for the police, I guess, right? Yeah. And so, Officer Lopez, in your, like, you know, when you come across all these teenagers and all these young adults, and do you find it challenging sometimes, you know, how do you get them to sort of, like, be comfortable, or how do you start it? Because it's not like they walk in and they say, yes, I want to change, or, you know, help me. So what are there, like, steps, or how do you get them to open up, be comfortable with you?
I'm a female, so I'm not, well, I guess I'm not, like, all, I'm not strict. I try to be more personable, soft.
Yeah.
You know, if you're there kind of yelling or, you know, of course, they're not going to want to open to you, but just kind of talk to them. Hey, bring them, like, what we do is we like to bring, like, goodies, like chocolate. Like, hey, if you answer this question, like, you know, here's a
Hey, chocolate's Snickers. Everyone's best friend.
You know, and so, you know, little by little, you start building up that, you know, rapport with them.
Right.
So
it is so strange because once you spend enough time with these young adults, I mean, it's like they're your kids. And you know right away when they walk in, what kind of mood they're in. And, you know, if they give you attitude or whatever. Yes, Officer Melissa has a very friendly demeanor. But we also have one officer. He's like really strict.
So you have to both
I'm like the mamo.
So it balances out. And I'm like, hey, that kid over there, he's just, you know, give me some attitude. He's like, okay, come on, let's do some push-ups. But we do have one program, which is like a combination of these two, and it's like a lot of fun. And it's the GPAL, which stands for the Greater Houston Police Activity League. That's a fun program to be in, okay?
There's more funding for that program. Yeah. They have, you know, a relationship with the Texans and the Rockets.
Oh, wow.
So they get, I think about 2-3 weeks ago, they took the kids to the Texans camp or where the player they got to meet the Texans players and take pictures with them and autographs, you know. So I'm like, man, why can't we take the Explorers? So and they have a lot of events because they're targeted more into the younger kids. They start at the age of 8, so they'll have like bike giveaways or, you know.
Oh, wow.
They take them, they're starting to, they're more of like activities, so they do more of sports. I know they're trying to create like soccer leagues and gymnastics leagues, and I think Officer Sarmino from the Midwest area is trying to push the
boxing.
Nice.
So we got a boxing gym that is letting us teach our kids, well, not us, but they're teaching our kids once a week, I believe, we're going for Saturdays. It hasn't started yet, but we can bring them on Saturdays, and they, you know, they if they buy their wraps, they get to, you know, do some boxing.
So the boxing thing, let me expand on that, okay? So we were doing it because now the summer is over, so now we have to look at a different schedule, one they can accommodate the students for the GPAL. And I thought I was in shape. When I took boxing, for the first 5 minutes, you cannot breathe. I mean, that's how exhausting it is.
You're already tired with the warm-up.
Just the warm-up. You didn't even gotten like to... Yeah, you haven't gotten even punching the bags yet. So this was interesting, which I did not know about professional boxers. So this guy, our instructor, professional boxer, he has licenses and everything. So we're not just learning, just going punching the bags. Actually, he's teaching us the basics. And this is what he told us. He said the first 2 years when he was training, they only worked on defense. He didn't hit anybody the first 2 years just to get the foundation, the fundamentals right. He said the professional boxers, I couldn't believe it. He said the professional boxers, they actually will run for like 15 miles and they come and work the bags for like an hour and do these other activities. That's even before they actually start the training for the boxing.
Whoa.
I was like, whoa, I mean, this first 5 minutes, I'll be burnt out. But this is how much training they do just to get to the level of just even sparring or practicing with each other. So our students, I mean, they love it. This GPAL. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like envy of my officer. I'm like, hey, dude, all you do is just come out and work out. That's all you do. Nice. And take the kids. You work out with them, and I always see you happy. I said, like, give us some of that, you know, the happiness.
Yeah, right.
He's getting in shape and
working.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, going back, one of the main purposes we did that is because what happens when kids get out of school? That's when they are prone to delinquency or other issues, peer pressure.
Makes sense.
So that's where we try to pick them up and get them away from the environment and put them in something more productive, healthy. Activities.
Yeah.
So GPAL is perfect. And once you join it, it's a lot of fun. And you actually crave for it. You want to go back.
Yeah. And you're building that trust. Yeah. And while you're doing something fun and active, you know, it kind of teaches these kids, like, hey, it's all about video games or being on your phone. Yeah. Go out there and be active. And it's fun, you know.
It keeps them off the streets.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I honestly have some of the kids, I have seen them. The body changing, like some of them start losing weight and start getting into shape, and it feels good, and you know, it's awesome to see that our work is paying off. You can see it,
and I'm sure those kids also must feel a sense of confidence, because if you, and it's not about being like envious or anything, but like when you feel good, you look good, you feel good.
Yes.
And then you have this sense of confidence. You walk up straight, you know, light up the room, I think. Shoot. Yeah.
So one day, all of you are going to have to come and work out with us.
Yeah, I'm down. I love to work out. I just can't do it right now. Yeah, I took her to one of my boot
camps. I'm going to train first, and then come and work out.
I took Layla to one of my boot camps that I used to do, and she comes up with like 3-pound weights. I was like, But she killed it.
She's good in everything. She's good in yoga, when you went for yoga classes. She's like totally flexible. Awesome. I was like, really? How do you know how to flex that way, girl?
How can you move that way? Yeah.
It's crazy. She still hasn't shared her secret with us.
But how do you sign up?
Very easy.
You go to any police station. There's 14 officers, PAL officers in the city. You go to any police station, get the contact of that officer or drop your name and they'll give that to an officer, and then that officer will contact you. No. And also going to HoustonTexas.gov, there's information on that website as well.
No. Okay. And then do you guys have any like programs that are coming up?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. We have a Coffee with the Cop next week, next Thursday on 26th, the 26th. Yes. At Lee's Cafe on Bel Air.
Okay, you guys do chai with the cop also.
Okay. Are we going to have to bring our own chai?
Chai and laddu. Chai and laddu and burfi.
Laddu and burfi, really? Someone has a sweet tooth.
Yeah, so we have that event next week. You can just go have some coffee and talk with, you know, officers from the area. We'll be out there. I think it's like 9 o'clock in the morning.
And we also got trick or treat.
We have a trunk or treat.
October 31st.
Yes. And then our big event, which is our holiday event, we have set it for December 18th?
I think 18th is a Wednesday.
Yes, it's a Wednesday. Yeah. It's going to be at our station. Last year, we had over 250 kids that showed up, maybe 300. We gave each kid got a toy. I think some got even
more than
one toy.
Yeah, we were there.
Yes, and we had a little activity, so they were able to, you know, do a little necklace with a little jingle bell on it. And we had the Blue Santa came out. So there's a lot of photo opportunities. So that's what we're working on for December this year.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was really nice to see the kids, you know, when they were standing in line and they said, pick one toy. And they were thinking so hard because in their mind, it's one toy,
it is
right?
So humbling. And then, like, you guys brought some fidget spinners and they were so happy to get a fidget spinner. Like, wow. You know, it's so humbling, you know, on just the simple little things, you know, that they don't get at home. Yeah. So it's awesome.
And then when you later on, it was like, okay, get more than one toy. Then it was when the joy, they feel like, yay!
Yes. Yeah.
That's wonderful. It's so nice to have so many of these programs by the HPD, and it's wonderful.
I think what happens, just like you when you were there, I mean, you still talk about it, is because it gives an opportunity for everybody else to participate as well. Yeah. So we collectively work together to improve the morale, not just of ourselves, but also the community.
Yeah.
So it makes all of us feel good. So when we come together, we can do a lot of good work.
Yes.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. And it takes a whole community to do that.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, you guys are doing everything you possibly can, but I'm sure you guys always need volunteers and help.
And donors.
I go out
and get all these toys. So yes, we don't have a budget for that. So.
Yeah. Of course.
And if anyone wants to donate toys, they just can drop it off at the station.
Yes. Thank you so much, Lynn, for donating toys. Thank you so much. That was very nice of you. Anybody means you, right?
No, anyone, everyone. We have to make sure, right, that the whole community is involved.
Yes, of course, everybody. And, yes.
Yes, because sometimes people want to do things, they want to donate, but then they don't know where to go, and it's just, you know. And there's so many organizations out there, and then people who are, you know, aware of only those organizations, they go there, but, you know, there are so many others, and the HPD doing that, why not have people?
What we do is something completely different. Actually, you become part of it, you come there, and you can give your own toys. That's what makes it special.
Right.
Not just like sign a check and here, you know, you guys get the toy, do whatever you want.
You get to experience it.
And we have people that are like, hey, I'm coming there to help out. I had a lot of fun. Yeah. So this is where we do it collectively. We all share our resources and just come together and have a great event.
And we were happy. Yeah. First time in our lives we saw Blue Santa. So I mean, you can tell.
Yeah. Can't beat that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming to the show. I mean, we always have so much fun when you guys are here, and we learn a lot. So thank you, and thank you for your services. You guys do amazing out there.
Thank you for having us.
So as always, we would like to leave you with a joke, a thought, some humor to start off with a fun week. This is by Dr. Seuss. And these are for the young kiddos out there. Today you are you. That is truer than true. There's no one alive who is your, who is youer than you.
That's very nice.
Thank you for tuning in with your Chai Time Girls here on 99.5 FM. Yali Madad, Kuda Hafiz, Ciao, Sastri Akal, Bye, Adios, Arrivederci, Sayonara. I did it without singing! Yay! Remember, my friends, it's
Chai Time.
Anytime.
Anywhere.
Bye-bye.
Bye.